It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
4th and 10, Oklahoma for the Cowboy 24, 14 seconds left. 37-33 Oklahoma State. The game is on the line right now. Pair of receivers to each side. One back set. Williams claps his hands, gets the ball. Back to pass. Under pressure. Pocket collapses. He is sacked! He is sacked! Back at the 33-yard line! They got him! It was the youngster, the freshman, Colin Oliver, that got him! Where's that Sooner magic now, baby? Where's that Sooner magic now?
Where's that Sooner magic now? That is a call from Hunziker that's going to live on in Oklahoma State lore forever. Oh, how you doing today, Ian? 48 hours out from a Bedlam W. I can feel so good.
I cannot believe we are sitting here 48 hours after the fact saying OSU won the game. I will eat crow a lot this episode, probably. I was not expecting that. I said he hammered the under. It was basically that bet was shattered by the end of the second quarter, I think, halfway through the game.
I mean, to be fair, almost everyone I heard, you know, like national sports pundits are like, the under's the bet, you know, bet here. So I know I took the over, but, and actually I almost called OSU score. I said 38 and it was a 37.
Yeah. You said 14 for OU. So there was that. I thought third quarter game was over. I thought game was over and you kept coming back with this. We will win. We will win. I'm like, you shut your mouth. And it somehow, some way, because it's Bedlam, somehow worked. And you know what? I know it says they OU scored 33. The defense technically only held them to 24.
Yeah, they didn't score an offensive point in the second half. Like, they, whatever adjustment Knowles made, you know, going from more zone from man, and it felt like the defensive line started being a bit more patient with Caleb Williams. And then they started getting a lot more like pressure sacks because they had 2 sacks in the first quarter and 4, or not in the first quarter, in the first half, and 4 in the second half.
Man, there were so many moments where it was like Caleb Williams was Houdini and 9 out of 10 quarterbacks would fall. They would get sacked, not Caleb Williams. And that is just, that's beyond me. I mean, he had a pretty good game. I'd say he outdueled Sanders significantly.
To an extent.
20 of 39, 252 yards. You could say Sanders was better mobily. That's fine. Passing-wise, nah. You got to give it to Williams.
For sure. It's good feeling. I was like, somebody, Robert, said something in the Slack about like, oh, yeah, the hope rocket ship's going to be at full speed. I'm like, no, not right now. We're going to bask in the glow of this Bedlam victory for just a little bit.
I mean, I'm kind of, I don't know if I'm on like a hope rocket ship, but I am. This was simply the path for OSU.
Yeah.
That needed to happen in order for OSU to have a, beyond a shadow of a doubt, reasonable chance at making the playoff. I think it's in grasp.
Oh, definitely. There was a great line from Pistols Firing Blog. I know we're probably not supposed to mention them on this show, but whatever, because it was it was better than I could actually figure out how to like say it. It's the third quarter felt like Justin Gilbert dropping a game icing interception or two-point conversion attempt missing the mark. but this veteran group of Cowboys looked squinky in the eye and gave it the double birds. And it's true. Like, Presley muffs that punt, it, everybody's heart sank. They're like, oh, here it goes. We've seen this movie before. And then somehow, some way, you know, Sanders got that big run on the option and OU muffs the punt and Warren scores the touchdown and it's over. It, well, I mean, Caleb Williams has that giant run late in the fourth quarter. I was like, is anybody going to stop him or is he just going to run forever, right? And then Oliver gets knocked down. Like, he was on his face and gets up. Well, he doesn't even get up. He, like, scooches over on his hands and knees and manages to get the sack to clinch it. That was just the ending of that game. So good.
I could not believe what I was seeing. Whenever the game was over, I'm like, this felt like a dream. It honestly felt like a dream because on what earth? This game just doesn't make sense ever. And it happened. It just happens. And you're just like, wow, I can't believe that. Defense showed up. What was surprising, I mean, OU controlled the time of possession.
Big time.
And they were very close to winning that game. I mean, OU had 35 minutes of possession versus OSU's 24.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, wow. And I mean,
and Presley, you know, finally broke off a kickoff return. Finally, like, he's been so close so many times, mm-hmm. right? And he, you know, he kind of cancels himself out. That safety never should have been a thing. No, we're offside. I felt like they were offsides like every other play. Like, even watching the highlights, and like, they were jumping so much and just not getting called.
I know a lot of OU fans were complaining about that, but man, like, you just can't help but look. It's like, okay, well, he was offsides there. He was offsides there. Should those have been pass interferences? Yes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of like the approach that the refs took. And I'm going to just say this. I kind of like just letting them play. I was kind of okay with that.
Yeah, I was too.
I know it sounds, you know, it's going to sound bad and be taken out of context, like, oh, they wouldn't have said that if they won. I mean, I probably would have said the same thing. I mean, when they punted for the final time, when OSU punted for the final time, I was like, okay, regardless of what happens here, I am okay with whatever outcome happens. And Caleb Williams did that run. I was like, all right, if this is how it's going to go down, let it be. Off topic of that, whenever OSU got that punt or recovered the punt that got fumbled,
mm-hmm.
I literally, like, I couldn't even speak. I started speaking like freaking Beaker from the Muppets. That's how excited I was. Like, words were not coming out. I was just like, I couldn't contain myself. I was like, did that just happen? Like, I couldn't believe it. And I thought the game was over. I thought the game was over in the third quarter.
I think a lot of people did. So here's your interesting stat. You were talking about, like, if you want to go total yards, Caleb Williams had 288 total yards rushing and passing. Spencer Sanders, 307. So, I mean, if you want to go total output besides the picks, Caleb Williams had 20 completions, Spencer 19.
Caleb also had 19 more
attempts,
or nine more attempts than Sanders.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you want to say, yeah, Sanders was definitely more efficient per se. I mean, interception.
I'm just saying in total yards, you know, Spencer outdueled him. You know, a passing TD and a rushing TD. You know, if it's just those picks just look really bad.
Yeah. What'd you think of the Tay Martin non-catch and the irony that Dez Bryant was right there? he's seen that play once before.
Yeah, man. I thought Tay had a really good game for the most part. You know, good, nice rushing TD. You know, I thought that was a good play call that they had. You know, good receiving TD on the right side. Just, I felt like he had a really good game just in general.
Yeah, that was a really good game from him. I was, he had that 30 yarder and I was like, dang, because we haven't seen that kind of plays this year for the most part. So mm-hmm. when that happened, I was like, dang. And hey, you were right about Malcolm Rodriguez having a really, really good game because I mean, typically he does. I mean, 11 tackles, 5 solo, 2 sacks, 3 tackles for loss. I mean,
yeah, he had just a great game. But I mean, so did a lot of guys. I mean, Devin Harper, 10 total tackles, 1 for loss, 1 sack. Bernard, 9 tackles. You know, there's a lot of guys. And then, like, I think one reason, like, it just sticks out is because he made plays when he needed to. But Colin Oliver, 2 tackles, 2 for loss, 2 sacks. Yeah, that last sack was the big one. And he's only a freshman.
I want to say, like, that play, like, that final sequence of events was eerily similar to the Missouri State game. I don't think Colin Oliver got the final sack, but Missouri State was driving, and the defense was able to put a stop, which, honestly, that's kind of the perfect ending where you go back to that thing that you have been relying on all season, mm-hmm. the defense. And now you go into a game with Baylor where I think a New Year's Six Bowl is guaranteed. At this point, it's either going to be with a win, because I think Alabama is going to lose. I think Alabama is 100% going to lose. If that does not happen, then there is another 2011-like scenario where Alabama's 4, Oklahoma State's 5, and it's just a repeat of 2011. That's a scenario I have in my head. Barring Cincinnati losing, now there is a chance that Cincinnati could get jumped by Oklahoma State. And I think if that happens, if let's say Georgia wins out, OSU wins out, and Cincinnati wins, I think Oklahoma State's going to go up to 3. They're going to take on Michigan in the Cotton Bowl if that happens.
Yeah, I mean, I could very conceivably see it being Georgia, Michigan, OSU, Cincy in the Final Four. But we still got to take care of business first.
Yeah, and we'll preview Baylor next week, but kind of some big news, 2 things. And then there's the one really big thing that we'll get to later. But it appears that Brock Martin is going to return for the next season. Said in a post, I'll find that post real quick, but I'll go ahead and do the second thing. Jim Knowles named a Broyles finalist, Broyles Award finalist. And this is the tweet from Brock Martin. Hey, BPS, I'll be seeing you again next year. Heart emoji.
Nice.
So that
Gundy said 8 starters are coming back on defense.
He did. And that I'm trying to think. I think 8 starters out of the out of the 11 starters. So that doesn't include Colin Oliver. So if I'm Malcolm Rodriguez, I'm probably going to the draft.
Doesn't he have to? Like, I think he's done. Like, I don't think he's got any more eligibility left.
Well, I thought Brock was a 5th year.
Well, yeah, but I think Malcolm would have had to go last year, but that free year because of COVID. So you can have 6 years now because of the COVID year.
Okay,
there's a guy at Tulsa who's got like 7 years because he got a medical red shirt too.
Yeah. Well, Trace Ford, I mean, I guess he didn't start technically, but he's probably coming back because he wants to, you know, prove himself. Tyler, I don't know about Tyler Lacey.
I've been trying to figure out who all has to go because when they were showing like the senior day stuff, there weren't that many people getting, you know, recognized. I only remember seeing like 4 or 5 different people.
Well, Brock was one of them. Brock was one of the seniors. So that's what surprised me is that he's going to come back.
Maybe he wanted his like senior day to be like at Boone Pickens, you know, like in Bedlam and not whatever it'll be next year, you know.
I mean, maybe that makes sense to me. But here are the Broyles Award finalists. Jeff Grimes, offensive coordinator, tight ends coach for Baylor, who we play Saturday. Jim Knowles. Dan Lanning from Georgia, who I think on the list, he was on the semifinals list and now the finalist list. He wasn't on that original list, which I think probably means he got cut off of the list that was released on Twitter, because that's my only explanation. He's on here, Dan Lanning out of Georgia. Josh Gattis out of the University of Michigan, offensive coordinator and receivers coach. And Wake Forest's Warren Rugniero, the offensive coordinator of Wake Forest. And I'm going to say this. My personal top three out of these three, no particular order, Knowles, Lanning, Rugniero. And I kind of think it's going to go to Lanning.
Yeah, probably.
Knowles is very, very deserving. And I wonder if they'll factor, you know, the talent that he has versus the talent Georgia has.
Right.
Which I'm not saying that OSU isn't talented, but Jim Knowles,
it's not the same.
Like Jim Knowles is, I don't want to say doing more with less, but he's doing this with three stars and Lanning is doing that with five stars.
Right. So there is, yeah. I mean, if you want to talk about like what he's doing, it's got to be Knowles. I mean, yeah. I mean, the Georgia defense is doing insane things, but they also have a lot better tools.
Well, heck, you could probably say the same thing about the Wake Forest guy. He's doing a lot more with less. I mean, they were able to go 10-2 this year, go to an ACC championship, which who would have thought at the beginning of the season we'd be saying the ACC championship is, wait for it, Wake Forest and Pitt. No amount of money you could have paid me. I would not believe you at all. And also, Pitt lost to Bowling Green, or no, Western Michigan. If yeah. they didn't lose to Western Michigan, they would have been a problem. They would have absolutely been a problem, because that offense is entertaining. They beat Clemson, which is significant. Wake Forest didn't do that. They would have had one loss, and I don't remember to who, but one other loss besides Western Michigan. But I think OSU should be very thankful that Pitt lost to Western Michigan. Because if they didn't, they'd be ranked a lot higher, and we would all be concerned. They lost to Miami, 38-34. That was their other loss.
So let's go back to the game a little bit. So the OSU-OU stats are eerily similar.
Yeah.
So first downs, 21 for each team, 7 rushing, 12 passing, and 2 on penalties for both teams. Total net yards, 401 to 350. Net rushing yards, 189 to 140. Net passing yards, 212 to 210. And the big stat, 6 sacks for 40 yards of loss for OU and only 1 sack for Spencer.
Which in that both teams were without their back or their starting centers.
Right.
I just want you to think about that for a sec. That O-line has surpassed, I think, a lot of people's expectations compared to, and they were getting, Sanders was under pressure. It felt like a lot.
Yeah, it really did. I think that's a testament to his growth. Yeah, he threw some bad picks, but for the most part, he seemed to be making the right decision. And, you know, he would dump it, mostly. He would scamper, get a couple yards, you know, he's coming along. He's finally made that leap, so to speak. Right. And if you think about his progression, he's always gotten hurt somewhere in the season. And this year it was the first game. Right. And then he came back for the rest. And I think just being that consistent and not going in and out of the lineup for a couple of games in the middle of the season, plus, you know, COVID was weird last year. I think you're starting to see the game slowing down a bit for him. I mean, I don't know if he's ever going to be a, you know, top 2-3 round draft pick kind of caliber, but he's turning into a quarterback neither of us thought he could be.
He's improved, and I think that he is capable of being a CFL type quarterback and maybe a backup in the NFL. Caleb Williams, now I know they lost, in his first night game in an away stadium in that hostile environment, he held his own. And I think that's a testament to him. And regardless of if he stays or if he doesn't, I think he's going to be really, really good.
I agree. And the thing is, he held his own in the first half, but he got beat up in the second half. And once Knowles made those adjustments, he kind of shut him down. I mean, going 20 for 39 isn't exactly holding your own, you know?
He held his own in the first half. And then I don't know what happened after that, dude.
Yeah, we talked about this last week, but another big stat, Oklahoma, 12 penalties for 74 yards.
And you know what's wild about that? OSU had 6, but yet the yards were only off by 14.
Yeah.
Which is, that's wild. That's wild. And there could have easily been so many others.
On both sides, too. That could have been really, really dirty game if the refs had been throwing flags like they probably should have.
But you know what what's funny? If they called flags, people would have called this game a ref show. And now they're mad at the lack of flags. Refs can't win, is what I'm learning. The refs cannot win at all.
I mean,
you want flags? Ref show. You don't want flags? What? Like, we got robbed by the refs. That's how it is.
So, speaking of Spencer, where does this put him on the list of Gundy quarterbacks? Like, he's the third one to win Bedlam for Gundy. I mean, that's got to put him pretty high.
I think 3 behind Whedon and Rudolph, because those are the other two, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think you have to put him at 3.
Man.
Heck, I mean, look, if he wins a playoff game, automatically goes to 2 in my mind. Automatically goes to 2. Because Rudolph couldn't get it.
Gets to a playoff game.
I
mean, this is something Rudolph could never do anyway, right? We never got to a baseball title game under Rudolph. I mean, Rudolph is a better talent, but he didn't. I guess the teams weren't as good. Well, and the defense definitely wasn't as good.
Yeah. So I don't know how much you credit that to. I think Mason Rudolph's a better quarterback, but if you're talking about his legacy, I don't know. I don't know. I think he's top 3, and that's that.
And especially this Bedlam. This Bedlam means so much. I mean, it's in my lifetime, it's up there as one of the most important wins I have ever seen.
And not only that, he was talking a little bit. He's like, I have confidence that we're going to win this game. Mm-hmm. I was like, you don't need to give him bulletin board material.
Well,
like,
that's the thing. Is like,
he backed it up.
Everyone was talking mess. Like, Tay Martin was talking mess. Everything, you know? And
and usually that backfires. And that's what I was worried about, too, is because we were talking. And it worked.
Yeah.
Something to monitor, by the way. Gary Bohannon, uncertain because of a hamstring injury. So, I mean, we will talk about that more on Thursday because we'll probably find out as close as that gets. And then I don't know anything about good old Danny G. I don't know if he's going to come back because, I mean, this center, in the battle of backup centers, whoever was starting for OSU, he held his own because that OU backup center, his snaps were low, so low.
Yeah, I mean, he was getting beat a lot. Like we said, there's a lot of times that Caleb Williams should have gone down, especially in the first half, and didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, we were in their backfield a lot. It's something, I wish I'd have grabbed that stat, but it's the amount of like quarterback hurries in the game was the most ever like that OU has faced or something like that.
I mean, has to. 7 quarterback hurries.
Yeah, I mean, that's being back there a lot. And the fact they converted on 6 of them.
Eventually, we're going to have to talk basketball.
I know, but it's bad.
And it, yeah. I we keep putting it off. And I just want to say this. They got a big win against NC State last week. And they had a really close game against Oral Roberts, which this isn't like Oral Roberts. This is Sweet 16 Oral Roberts.
Right. Yeah.
They and they won by 1 point. That's an impressive win to me. So I don't know who they're playing this week. And conference play starts on New Year's. So I just want to get the basketball talk out of the way almost. Not because I don't like basketball, but because of the position where OSU was at. You're just like, hey, like this is front and center. And a lot of the talk this week, they got Wichita State on Wednesday. 5-1 versus 6-1. Something to monitor. December 5th, Xavier, Oklahoma State. At Oklahoma State at 4:00. So that'll be a party, assuming football wins, because they'll probably show up to that game. Everyone's going to get lit. That atmosphere is going to be electric against Xavier. All hail the Blue Blob, by the way. Their mascot at Xavier, electric. But, yeah, 2 big games for OSU this week. And we'll probably have to talk about that Wichita State game. But you want to laugh at OU for a sec?
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Before we get to OU, our regular season is done. So I think we should reflect on the season that was just a little bit, because it's,
I want to reflect when the bowl game's over, to be honest.
Oh, I mean, we can do that then too, but if nothing else, you know, even I was more optimistic than a lot of people were, a lot of the national people. And I was like, this team's going to go 9-3, lose to OU, Iowa State, and somebody we shouldn't. Well, we only lost to one of those and we didn't lose anything else. And now we're sitting here, 1 loss, ranked 5th in the AP. Big 12 title game in front of us against a very good Baylor team that honestly scares the bejesus out of me. But here we are with a real shot at winning the Big 12. And you know what? They win the Big 12 and they get screwed by the CFP. Oh, well, it'll suck. I'll be upset. But you had told me at the beginning of the season that we would be 1 win away from winning the Big 12 title. I would have laughed at you straight up.
No, I mean, I said 9-3 Alamo Bowl, a lot like you. And I thought I was being generous. Here we are now.
And the other thing is,
I was wrong.
The other thing is how the season started, right? Mm-hmm. It looked so bad, like Missouri State and Tulsa and Boise. Yeah, there was a lot of stuff going on there. Our offensive line was hurt. Boise, that one scholarship wide receiver, you know, but still. And then somehow, some way, this team just kept coming. And yeah, we were 2 wide right field goals of beating Iowa State. And, you know, Presley should have had that first down, but still, that this team could have easily, it would have been really easy to be like, oh, well, we lost. Da, da, da. But no, they came back and they just started crushing people, like unbelievably crushing people. And, you know, the job that the 3 coaches, the OC, the DC, and the head coach have done this year are crazy. And I know that we both were really iffy about Dunn coming in, like, first 3, 4, 5 games of the season. You know what? The offenses look pretty decent. It's starting to tempo again, not like, you know, 2009 tempo, but still it's a lot more tempo than we've seen in the last couple of years. I think he's finally figured out what Spencer can do and what his team can do and how he can best maximize it. Because all in all, I felt the game plan Saturday was really good.
I think so too. I mean, the way that the tempo started, and it just, I don't want to say Gundy seemed aggressive, but he has found a way. He has found a way to capitalize on his conservatism coming from play calls. I don't know how, I don't know why, but it's working. But you want to know, I have one problem.
What's that?
Jalen Warren has not looked like the Jalen Warren we saw against Boise State in early into the season. 17 carries, 56 yards.
Part of me wonders if he's dinged up.
That's what I would assume, because it is – He's looked okay, and he got the go-ahead touchdown, but I think if Dominic didn't get – if he didn't fumble and get the safety, I think we probably would have seen more of him in the second half. But, I mean, Sanders kind of took the load there. But
– I mean, he's had 237 attempts this season.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's the other thing is, you know, maybe the workload is what they need. And, you know, everybody else is keying in on him, right? Since he was the bell cow for so long this season.
OSU does a terrible job when it comes to managing running backs. We saw it with Chuba last year, where he's struggling to get, you know, 100 like they're used to. You gotta try to spread the wealth when it comes to the running backs. And we were talking about the running back room being electric. Well, LD Brown and Dez Jackson they're almost non-existent. And I don't know if that's injuries or just, I don't know, but now you're relying on two guys, Ward and Richardson right now.
Yeah.
And and 80% of the carries have been going to Warren. So I don't know if you even that out. I don't know what you do there.
I mean, one thing, because I'm just like perusing over this, Warren's getting a lot more passes out of the backfield. I mean, this is the second most receptions he's had for the second most amount of yards. So, I mean, yeah, he only had 56 on the ground, but he had another 27 through the air. So that's 83 yards total. And that's not bad production.
I think it's 80. No. Yeah, you're right. 83. Looking at a different thing. But another thing, the running defense, Kennedy Brooks, 22 carries, 139 yards. And I think you mentioned earlier in the year that you thought, did you say that Warren was the best back in the Big 12?
At one point, yeah, but he's definitely fallen off.
Well, yeah, I think it's Breece Hall number one, Kennedy Brooks number two.
And yeah, he had a really good game.
You said your mess about Breece Hall, and I've kind of held that against you. But, man, you got to acknowledge that Breece Hall is real deal, legit.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a really good NFL running back.
Yeah, I think so too.
But, yeah, I'm still just sort of basking in the warmth of the Bedlam win. You know, the Hope rocket ship is just – looking at the stars and going, ah, yes, victory.
This close. And I still feel like somehow, like something's going to happen.
I mean, of all the games we've had, of all the games we've had, I think this Baylor one might be the one I'm scared about the most for a couple of reasons. You know,
I'm more confident in this game than I was OU, than I was about Texas. I mean, I feel pretty confident that they can go in and beat that Baylor team again. I mean, especially with a backup quarterback.
Well, that will change things a lot, right? If they're on their backup quarterback, I'll feel a lot better. Just they're playing really, really good football right now. They are ranked where they are ranked for a reason.
They are playing decent football right now. They almost lost to Tech with the backup quarterback. Again, they were the team that lost to TCU. They were the team that beat OU by more points. So there's multiple ways you can look at it, but I think they're the same team. They're the same team that we saw in October, and that's that.
Yeah, there's just a lot more film, you know. And that's something we've talked about all season. Is and Aranda and his group is good, you know, unless we get some kind of weird thing like, oh, LSU's offered him like $18 million a year. Or whatever.
That's the guy they should hire 100%.
I thought I read something this weekend that he had agreed to an extension with Baylor, but I haven't seen any details.
I think it was on the table. I don't know if he agreed to it. And LSU still needs a coach. Yeah. You know who doesn't need a coach?
USC.
Wow,
that a bonkers, like just everything, like Bedlam and how awesome that was, and like waking up the next morning, Riley to USC, like was on the plane before the sun came up, like peace out hombres, taking his entire like half his coaching staff with him. We've already had like 7 4- and 5-star decommits. It's Rattler's gone. Like, he's not just leaving the cupboard bare. He's raiding it.
He's taking it. I don't know if he's taking Bimbo, but if he does. Also, breaking news, LSU is expected to hire Brian Kelly.
No.
An announcement could come as early as tomorrow, per Thamel. Pete Thamel was the guy. I think he was one of the main guys that kind of said, hey, Riley's going to USC. Let's talk about that for a minute. I've never seen Brian Kelly as a USC guy or an LSU guy at all.
Why would you want to go there? They're insane. And he's got a sweet, cushy gig at Notre Dame. Unless they are going to throw that $250 million check at him, like he joked about in his press conference.
Yeah, I do not understand that. Because that is not a lateral move. That's just a weird move to me.
They must be throwing... This has got to be a Lincoln Riley or better type deal.
Yep.
All right. Before we get to the coaching carousel, let's get to some of the games. So Michigan beats down Ohio State, which is great because screw.
Was not expecting that at all. I thought it was going to be a same old. Ohio State beats Michigan by a butt ton of points, and there you are. But that was not the case.
I was watching the Iron Bowl intently, and I was like, oh, come on, Auburn, make this easy, kill Bama, get them out of the CFP now. But he just couldn't do it. Like, the wide receiver stepped out instead of going out of bounds, and so they were able to save about 40 seconds, so that ended up being the game changer.
Yeah, I mean, whenever the game went into overtime, I was like, okay, Alabama, how I felt.
Generally, the better team wins in overtime. That's just how it goes.
Oh, well. They got to take on Georgia.
Yep. So,
get her done, Georgia.
So, I don't know. Do you want to go to get into coaching or CFP?
I think the CFP is simple. Alabama loses. OSU's probably not in.
Well, I meant for tomorrow. Like, what do you think the rankings are going to be?
Well, I think it'd be stupid for Notre Dame to be ahead of Oklahoma State. I think I'd put Oklahoma State at 5. I personally put them in 4 just because I put Alabama at 5 because Alabama wins, they jump, whatever, right? Michigan, I think Michigan's going to be a 2.
And that A&M loss is looking way worse.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That Alabama, oh, well, he got 8-4 Texas A&M by 3 points. And then, not only that, Oklahoma State has a 7 loss to 7-5 Iowa State by 3 points on the road. It's an identical loss. It's the same loss, virtually. Essentially. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, they look bad against Auburn. Like, they were good when it mattered, but they did not look good that entire game.
They look bad against Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
They look bad against LSU. They look bad against Auburn. They are surviving. They're not winning. They're surviving. And that's going to come to a head with Georgia. And Georgia is going to smoke them by 10 plus points. I'll go with that, 10 plus points. Nice. And I'm probably be wrong because Alabama's going to do some weird voodoo crap. Tide voodoo.
Some weird voodoo crap. Oh, man. So, man, if you had told me Saturday night Riley would not be the head coach at OU today, I would have laughed at you.
Oh, no, for sure.
And I never thought he would. I thought there was a good chance he would leave, right? People were throwing way too much money at him. But, man, to do it in the middle of the night, essentially, and not even stick around for the bowl game, just like peace out. And that's low.
I mean, I think the fact of the matter is he didn't lie. He did not lie. He said, I'm not going to be the coach at LSU. And guess what? He's not the coach at LSU. And I think this is either going to work really well for Lincoln Riley or be an unmitigated disaster. This is going to be he's going to play in probably the weakest conference in the Power Five, where all you're really worried about is Oregon and the occasional Utah and the occasional Washington. I like who Washington just got. They got Fresno State's head coach.
He's a good coach.
He's a very good coach.
I feel bad for Fresno State. This is like their fourth coach who's left in 7 years or something like that. Like, they managed to find these really talented coaches and just can't keep them.
Man, I don't know what, like, Fresno State, they got Derek Carr. They have Devontae Adams. Like, they have two of those guys, and they just produce talent, and they produce wins.
Yeah.
Fresno State's probably going to be fine, but I think USC is in a really good spot with the way that Lincoln Riley, and I said this on Twitter, Lincoln Riley has left OU like 3 p.m. on Black Friday, empty and a mess. I know Bob Stoops said that, you know, they're in a better place. Now it's still a mess. It's still a mess. Considering
how many of their major recruits just bounced.
All from California.
All from California, you know. And actually, I got a theory about how this went down. Yeah. I posted on my Twitter. But first, so here's your decommit. 5-star QB, 5-star wide receiver, 4-star running back, 4-star defensive lineman, 4-star linebacker, 4-star offensive lineman. Those are all who have decommitted today. And yesterday, and Spencer Rattler's gone. So here's my theory that it's either started before the season or no later than in week 3, USC and Riley started talking, because it's been so quiet out of USC, right? And we've all kind of wondered, like, what's going on with OU? They don't seem as sharp as they normally do, you know? And maybe that's one reason why Rattler, you know, regressed, because he wasn't getting enough attention because his coach was, you know, distracted. And even if you're at the highest level of college football, if you're not committed completely to it, you're going to fail. And I think that's what we're seeing. Is so there was a distracted Lincoln Riley, and then he started talking to his coaches, be like, hey, because there's no way those coaches didn't know. They're not going to just up in the middle of the night, be convinced Saturday night after Bedlam, hey, let's all go to California together. This has got to be something that's been brewing for months.
I don't know about months. I think USC said maybe like a month long, or I guess it is. That's not months, maybe a month or 3 weeks.
I don't buy it. Don't buy it.
That's when I think you started thinking interest. I mean, that's fine if you don't buy it. I think because – do you remember, I guess this would go with your theory. Do you remember I don't know when exactly they fired him, but whenever the USC stuff just stopped.
Yeah, it's week 2. They fired their coach.
They fired their coach, but there was all sorts of rumors swirling around, and then everything just stopped.
Right.
I think that's then I think I'm with you there, because that could easily be the, oh, they figured it out.
Right. And so, and that's the thing is, like, a high profile job with that little chatter. I mean, like, I wasn't paying too much attention to it, but like every time I think about it, like people are like, I'd remember, oh yeah, USC doesn't have a coach right now. They're like, why there should be more rumors, more swirl about this. And there just wasn't. So no, that's my story. That's my theory. But if Kelly going to LSU is true, that means Notre Dame is open. There's still massive jobs that are open. OU's open.
It's
Notre Dame is open.
Yeah. What does that tell you about Notre Dame and OU? If they are they stepping stone programs now? What is that? You never see that.
Well, I mean, if it's true, Riley really did not want to go to the SEC.
Who's to blame him?
Right.
That environment there is toxic when it comes to coaches.
Yeah.
You better have consistently good, or you are in deep trouble. Like, you saw that with Ed Orgeron.
There was some scandal going on behind the scenes but it wasn't just that. But yeah, generally you win a natty, you can, you know, sleep with a co-ed and you'll be okay.
Yeah. Hold on. I think that'd be funny if Ed Orgeron went to Notre Dame. go Irish. Oh shoot! Like that needs, please. I think he said after the game, but he is going to, he's going to Destin, his girlfriend.
Hey man, I just got paid however many millions of dollars to not coach. Yeah. Why not?
Unreal.
Got nothing else to do except for be rich.
You know what I'm kind of thinking?
What?
Urban Meyer, Notre Dame.
Oh,
somebody tweeted this. This is Jake Hawley Media said Urban Meyer would definitely pull a Bobby Petrino for the right job. This is the right job, I think, for Urban Meyer. I think he would like the grind of Notre Dame, and I think he could maybe get a playoff win out of there, just grinding in South Bend.
Well, I'm looking at it because I'm curious. Yeah, he's still like got a lot of stuff in Columbus, and it's not that far to Columbus, so maybe being that close would be good for him.
He deleted the tweet. Dang it.
Man.
I hope he retweets it or puts it back. Oh.
There's some people saying Matt Rhule come back.
To Notre Dame? I think he'd go to I see him as an Eastern Pennsylvania guy. I could see him going to, I don't know.
Thing is, he's making a metric ton of cash at Carolina. So he would just have to either hate working in the pros or I don't see him leaving.
Yeah.
That is the rumor.
Well, I mean, considering how bad it is. With all the crazy stuff this year, we've seen Brian Kelly go. We've seen Lincoln Riley go. I wouldn't be surprised by anything to this. That's college football for you. That is.
So here's the question. Do you think they will start putting rules for transfers if your coach leaves to keep from poaching his own players?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Because I feel like that would already be in place. Because I think there was an honor system.
Yeah, but if in the next couple of days we see Caleb Williams enter his transfer portal and tends to go to USC, that's going to that'll be bad.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if the coaches can go, why can't the players? Like, I mean, but it just – maybe the NCAA doesn't have the power to do that anymore because they are kind of weakening right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but old NCAA, I could see putting that into place.
Yeah, I think so. If they have any, just dang, I have nothing. I don't know anymore, man, because this is going to be, this is still insane.
Yeah, and like I've said multiple times, if Gundy wanted to double his salary, he could. I don't see him going. I think he's a lifer. I think he's very much a you know what? I've got more money than I'll ever know what to do with. But if he wanted to, if he wanted to make $8-10 million a year, all he would have to do is say, hey, I'm available. That's it.
Yeah. Could you see Matt Campbell going to Notre Dame?
I mean, someone's going to throw. I'm surprised that no one has thrown just giant gobs of cash at him yet. But if Notre Dame all of a sudden needs a coach, they'll throw it at him. I mean, I could see OU throwing a bajillion dollars at him. It just really depends because Iowa State just doesn't have the resources to match it.
I think so too, but I think the facade of him has kind of faded after this year. I think he may have stayed too long.
Yeah, one season too long.
Yep. We'll see.
We'll see.
There are so many openings. So who knows, man? Who knows?
Oh, man. A Bedlam win. Going to the Big 12 title game, which I will most likely be at. I was gonna be in Dallas anyway. And I may just pay the money just to get in and sit in the 400 section of Jerry World and pick binoculars or something so I can actually see the players.
I mean, I could have easily gone to the game last week, but they've been playing so much better when I'm not there.
I've thought about that. Do I want to jinx it? Like, would it be me showing up be a jinx?
I think you've done enough jinxing this season that it's probably
fine. Enough jinxing. What I've been saying, except almost for Iowa jinxing. State, has been right.
You've almost jinxed them.
No, so it's not a jinx. Yeah,
they've almost been jinxes.
They weren't. So that means they're not jinxed.
You jinxed Iowa State. You jinxed Iowa State.
Right, I'll take Iowa State.
You said 38-14 for Bedlam. I can't believe that. Still. And we won.
Hey, we scored 37, so I was at least close on that one.
Yeah.
I expected the defensive changes to come faster than they did. But once they happened, they did what they did done all year. Is they clamped down. And we've talked about it, how like the first couple of drives of each game always feels a little iffy. And then they just clamped down. So that's kind of what I was expecting. And just took a half to do it instead of a quarter.
Yep. What a week already. And we still got one more week until bowl games. And you know what's fun? You know what I really like?
What's that?
I like the bowl announcements. I love whenever Brett McMurphy sends out a tweet that somebody has accepted a bid to whatever bowl. I think it's awesome. I love it. So, I mean, like we had the Bahamas Bowl announcement on Sunday, I think, the Toledo versus Middle Tennessee. Memphis is going to the Hawaii Bowl. And then I think East Carolina announced like randomly on Saturday, like, hey, we're going to go to the Military Bowl. I was like, oh, okay.
Man, I miss being like in college during bowl season because I was on break from school. I wasn't working, and I would just like watch random bowl games all day. It was the best thing ever.
It's great, dude. It's so great, dude. I still want to find. I feel like I hype bowl season up so much, and I watch like six bowls.
Well, hopefully we're watching the the Cotton Bowl, right? Would be our most likely destination.
I think the two bowl games that'll happen. This is OSU. I think it'll either be it's got to be one of the three: Cotton Bowl, Orange Bowl, Fiesta Bowl.
I'll take any of them.
If we lose, it's I think a guaranteed Fiesta Bowl because Baylor will go to the Sugar. If OSU wins and misses out, they would go to the Sugar. So I guess four bowls are in play, but I don't think they're gonna. If Oklahoma State wins, I don't think they miss out of the playoff unless Alabama wins, and I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I agree. But crazier things have happened. They have. And it would just be like Bama to win and screw everybody out of the playoff. Just be like Bama to do that.
Feels like 2011. That's what it would feel like. It'd be like again.
I would be so pissed. So upset if that happened.
Hey, does this mean that Lou Holtz is going to be the interim coach for Notre Dame's bowl game?
I don't know. Maybe.
I hope so. That'd be funny to hear him. I need more Lou Holtz meme material. So this would be great.
All right. Now, you got anything else for us?
Nah.
Oh,
I do not.
It was a bit of a meandering show, but I don't know. For me, it's just basking in the glory of a Bedlam win. So, till next time, Cowboys and Cowgirls, we'll see you.